think I should have been preaching on Gideon. Not sure why I kept trying to call Joshua Gideon, but whatever. Going to have you turn tonight to a couple places to start. John 13 and Acts chapter 10. John 13, Acts chapter 10. We'll start in John 13. This is the passage where the Lord Jesus Christ girds Himself to wash the disciples' feet. It says in verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and let's go down to verse 13. This is Peter upon the roof. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you here again tonight and grateful for what we've already enjoyed today. It's been a good day and a good week. We pray that you will feed your folks here tonight and give us some things to think about. Pray that we might be clear in our speech and may we, Father, have some unction to preach and liberty to do so. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Simon Peter is famous for a couple things. Mainly he's famous for putting his foot in his mouth, right? He had a size 12 and he managed to fit it in his mouth all the way, more often than not. And, you know, a lot of folks in the Bible are famous for things they said. Thomas is famous for saying, Unless I can put my finger in the prints of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Right? Sarah is famous for saying, I laugh not. I like Aaron's statement. He said, Well, we put in this gold and there came out this calf. I like that one. He's famous for saying that. I also like Pilate. He said, I find no fault in this man. Right? Three times. Then went ahead and had him killed anyway. Amen? Now, Simon Peter was famous for saying some things. He was mainly famous for putting his foot in his mouth. And I don't want you to think I'm making fun of Peter here. I don't make fun of Peter. I think that there's more Peter in most of us than we care to admit sometimes. Simon Peter was one of those guys, you got to remember, he was not a clown, all right? There are things that we know about. He failed in some ways and openly. How would you like your failings to be quite so public as Peter's? How would you like folks to be able to peruse through the Bible and find time after time after time where you look like a little bit of an idiot, right? So I don't make fun of Simon Peter. For one, I tell you what I think. I think it's misunderstood to some point. For one, remember he did preach down Pentecost, right? He was the preacher that day. Remember, he was the one that helped to pick the next apostle. That was no small thing. He was the guy that God chose to send to Cornelius to open the door to the Gentiles, which was the day that you had a chance to get saved. Right? So all those things are true. And you know, folks, I know that there were times that Simon Peter's passion led him to speak too quickly. But you know what? We could use a little more passion these days. We live in Laodicea. Right? I know there were some times that his guilelessness and his lack of subtlety got him in trouble. But you know what? We could use a little less guile these days. A little less subtlety. Amen? And there were some times that his hard, quick opinions were a little bit overbearing. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you know, he was never unreprovable. Whatever is the case, Simon Peter could take a rebuke like very few people that you even know. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ could point his finger in his face and say, Get thee behind me, Satan. And Simon Peter was still there the next morning, right? So I appreciate those things. And, you know, I got thinking about some things. First of all, this thing in John chapter 13, he said, No, sir, you ain't washing my feet, not ever, not never. Thou shalt never wash my feet. He said in Acts chapter 10, says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "No way. Absolutely, positively not." In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Listen, I'm going to have to go down to Jerusalem, and there the Pharisees and the Sadducees are going to betray me, and I'm going to have to die, and I'll rise from the dead the third day." Jesus Christ said, "Not on my watch, you're not. No, sir, no, sirree. Not while I'm around. Nobody's going to take you and kill you." Right? Go over to, you don't have to go there, but I'll just tell you that in Matthew 26, Jesus Christ said, "Now listen, guys, this night, every one of you is going to deny me." Simon Peter said, "I don't care what they do, not me. No, sirree, nobody's going to deny. I'm not going to deny you no matter what." Right? Now, when I've seen all those things, I mentioned four things there. And all four of those things, Simon Peter said, "Nuh-uh, no way, no sir, nuh-uh." I want to talk to you tonight about Simon Peter's nose. I'm not talking about the proboscis on his face. I'm going to talk to you a little while about the times that Simon Peter said no to the Lord. And, you know, there is nobody in America that's told no more than Jesus Christ. There is nobody that's more remonstrated with, argued with, and refused than Jesus Christ. And first of all, I know you know that on the lost folks' side of things. I understand that, but I also want you to know that He is told no all the time by Simon Peters. By that I mean the Simon Peters that are not His enemies. They love Him. They appreciate Him in some regard. They're protective of Him. And I want you to know there are a lot of times that Christians say no to Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand why they do so. And one of the things that sticks out in my mind here in these passages is, yeah, there's a lot of times Simon Peter said no. And I want you to know that each and every time we're going to look at here tonight, Simon Peter said no with good reason. I'm not saying he was right. I'm not saying that he should have said no. But I'm saying he had reason to say no and thought he had good excuse to say no. And I want you to know that when you examine some of these things, sometimes you will be tempted to tell the Lord no for these reasons. All right, first of all, let's look to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now, I know sometimes I say I'm not going to preach long, then I do anyway, but I'm just glad that I'm not as bad as Brother Peacock. That's all I'm glad. But I don't think I'm going to be too long tonight. Just want to look at four different things here for a little bit, and I want to tell you why Simon Peter said no. Simon Peter's nose. All right, Luke 5:1. Passage we return to all the time, seems like it comes up a lot. Says it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake Gennesaret. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. All right, now, I want to say up front that this is not a full-blown, absolutely, positively not, no, never. This is kind of a half refusal, all right? And you know how this works. I think most of you have been here before when we've gone through this. In verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "Let down your nets for a drought." Drought, not drought. We don't need a drought, we need a drought. Verse 6, "I will let down the net." It's nets versus net, right? Now, you know what? I never have been able to figure out how many nets are on those fishing boats. If there's two nets, then Jesus Christ wanted him to put down both nets. He only put down one net, right? So he half refused and half obeyed. If there were three nets, then he one-third obeyed and two-thirds refused. So I don't know. You know, you can go on from there. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, that Simon Peter said no, at least in part. And what I learned from that is, whatever else can be said, this teaches you that half obedience makes a mess. Because they take this one net, let it over the side, they're supposed to put at least two down, right? And what happens is they gather a great multitude of fishes. And the Bible says the net break. And I am to conclude from that, folks, that if they had put down their two or three nets, that the net would not have broken. So they would have had no repairs to make afterwards, right? There were fish that could have been caught if they'd had two nets down that were not caught. There were fish that got out the hole in the one net that could have been caught that got away. All I'm saying in saying all that, folks, is that half obedience makes a mess, right? And the question that I have for you is, why did Simon Peter say no, at least in part? And I believe it's answerable in one single word. It's called experience. Simon Peter is a fisherman by trade. He does it for a living. You might say he's a professional. He had been out all night in verse 5. They had labored all night long, had caught nothing. They have now brought the boats in. They have cleaned the nets. They have repaired all the nets. And now this guy comes up and he says, I want you to go out and I want you to let down your nets again. Now look, he'd been fishing these waters for a long time, right? He'd already been out all night. It was now time to clean the nets and clean what fish they had not caught. And he said, you know, this is not the time the fish run. I'm a fisherman. I do this for a living, and by experience, I know that we're wasting our time by going out and letting out all these nets. So I think that's the reason why Simon Peter only let down one. He said, okay, he kind of deferred to Christ. I wonder how many Christians, you know, Christ asks something of them, and they go, well, I think it's a bad idea, but for you, I'll do it. It wasn't a stomp and turn, but it's an eye roll, which is almost as bad. The disrespect in an eye roll maybe doesn't reach quite so much to the stomp and turn, like Brother Peacock said, but an eye roll is not good, even if it's just in your head, right? So, folks, I want you to take note here that one of the reasons Simon Peter said no, at least in part, was by experience. Now, again, he was a fisherman. He knew his business. Jesus Christ is a carpenter, and Simon Peter had been out all night, and it's reasonable to think that Simon Peter would, you know, have some reason to not do that. But I want you to know sometimes your experience will ruin things for you with the Lord. You know, there are a lot of lost men in this life, and not all lost men are absolutely perverted reprobates, right? There are lost men that are good men. There are lost men that have had experience in this life. And when they are approached by me or you at their doorstep or on a street somewhere with a tract and say, sir, have you ever been born again? And wouldn't you like to be born again? You know what they go through in their head? They think, you know what? I've seen a lot. I've heard a lot. I've been through a lot. I went through the war. I ran away from home as a kid and joined the circus. I've been through AA. I was in the Army. You know, I did this, I did that, I joined the Peace Corps, traveled through Europe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? I've been a cop, I've been a hippie. Now, I've seen some things, and among other things that I've seen these are religious folks come and go. I've seen folks make confessions and make professions. I've seen entire generations of slick-haired TV evangelists come and go, you know, flop and fail and flounder and go away, and then another generation come after them. I've seen a lot with this Christian stuff. I am very familiar with hypocrites in the church, right? In other words, I have fished my whole life. And now you come along and tell me that I should trust Christ and be born again. And you know what? Sometimes those guys like that, they will refuse Jesus Christ. They will refuse salvation out of experience. Their experience has been sour. Their experience has been that Christians are hypocrites. Their experience has been that Christians come and go. Nobody's very stable. Their experience has been that everybody plays a little bit of a pharisaical, hypocritical role. Their experience tells them that receiving Jesus Christ, praying a prayer, asking Jesus Christ into your life is not something that matters a lot. And so sometimes those lost guys by experience will just reject Christ. And I want you to know by the same token that the children of God do the same thing. You know, Simon Peter, once again, his experience would have dictated that there was no reason whatsoever. This whole fishing expedition this morning at Christ's command was an entire, complete waste, right? His experience would have said, look, you should tell this guy to get lost. He does not know what he's doing. You've been out all night. It is not time to fish now. It's time to go home and go to bed. You've fished all night. You've repaired the nets. You've washed the nets. Tonight is the night to go fishing. Tonight, the fish will run. The moon is right. The tide is right. Tonight, the fish will run. The fish don't run at 10 in the morning. And Simon Peter very well may have come this close to saying, no, Lord, not at all. Now, you know, to his credit, he kind of went halfway, right? He said, Lord, out of deference to you, even though you said nets, I'll let down one. I'll give you that. But I've worked my guys hard. My guys are tired. They have washed these nets. They have repaired these nets. They have swabbed the decks. And it just does not make any sense for me to let down three or four nets to have to do all that over again. So in deference to you, I will let down one. I think it's a bad idea, but I'll let down one. Right? Now, you know, Christians do the same thing, folks. Simon Peter was not the enemy of God. Turns out Simon Peter's one of the most guys that was in the most one of the most impassioned disciples of all Christ's disciples. Jesus Christ was him, right? He was the guy really ready to defend Jesus Christ with his life. He loved Jesus Christ. He was not a rebel. He was not a Cain. He was not an Esau. He was not a Pharaoh. But he only obeyed Jesus Christ halfway. Now, you know why a lot of times a Christian will not do what he's told? I'm talking about by the Lord, from the Word of God, because their experience dictates that it doesn't work. They tried something like this at one juncture or another, right? I mean, you used to be a vacuum cleaner salesman and you flopped out. So you think that door-to-door visitation is not a good idea, right? You tried to repair a breach with a brother or somebody in your lost life back, you know, in the old days, and you think that doing it God's way is not profitable. Now, you know what we do? I tell you how people are. We want to walk by faith, or rather, we want to walk by sight, do we not? I'll tell you what folks think. They think that if they had the right experience, that would dictate their faith. In other words, experience would feed faith. Did you know that does not work? Look in Romans chapter 5 just real quick here. I want you to see that you have to be careful with this thing because, Romans chapter 5, because you tend to think that you can tell the Lord no when you have already experienced in your life that this thing might not work. Look in Romans chapter 5. And the reason that you think that is because by experience, you think that it won't work. Romans 5, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, so we start with faith, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now watch. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So, you start with faith. Well, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, right? So, with faith, in time comes trouble. Verse 3, we glory in tribulations also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, your experience does not feed your faith. Your faith feeds your experience. It's backwards. It's the other way around. Men want to see stuff first, experience it, then they'll believe. The opposite is how it works. You have faith, God teaches you some lessons, teaches you some patience, and then you get experience. So all I'm saying, you'll come to a point in your life sometime where you will be tempted to say, I'm not going to do that, it won't work. Why won't it work? Because I've seen it not work. I just want to say that if you have not done it at Jesus Christ's behest, you've not done it right. You may have fished 7 nights in a row all night long. And if Jesus Christ comes along the next morning and says, go fish now, then brother, go fish now. If you have not done it at Christ's command, at Christ's behest, you've not done it. Right? So, first of all, you'll be tempted to say no to the Lord because of your experience. That's a bad thing. Now, look, I just want you to see, Simon Peter is not Judas Iscariot. Simon Peter does not hate the Lord, nothing like that. He just thinks that he can prove that this is not going to work, so he's not going to do it this way. That's a dangerous thing. Simon Peter, by the time this is over with, is in the floorboard of the ship. If a ship has a floorboard, I'm not sure what that's called. But he's down in the bottom of the ship on his face saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Right? Humiliated by the fact that he had, by his experience, rejected what Jesus Christ had said to do. Gone halfway, and then things got messed up because he did it halfway. If he had thrown both nets off, or one net off each side and one off the back, I have a feeling that things would have been fine, right? They would have had more fish than they could clean. He wouldn't have had to pull in another crew. The net wouldn't have broken. Those fish wouldn't have gotten away. And there were fish that did get away that were never in the net at all that he could have had. So he made a mess by being half obedient, which meant he said no halfway. All right, so there's that. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Been around Christians a long time, and given a lot of advice, and not all my advice and counsel is perfect or by any stretch of the imagination, but I've also seen a lot of folks through the years say, "Nah, I don't think so," you know? And you know, it's not like they're rejecting Christ by rejecting me. But you show them from the Bible what the Bible says about this, that, or the other, and they go, "Nah, I've already tried that." You know, well, you know, did you try it at the Lord's behest? Did you try it having prayed and fasted and asking God to help? Or did you just try something like that, kind of halfway? That's the difference. All right, look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and go down to verse 22. Very familiar passage to us all. Verse 21. "At that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Guys, I got to go to Jerusalem. They're going to betray me. I'm going to die. I'm going to bleed. I'm going to suffer. But I'm going to be buried and rise again the third day. Simon Peter, no, not on my watch. It ain't going to happen with me around. I will go to the death to defend you. That's not going to happen on my watch, right? Simon Peter said, no way. That's a very, very strong no, right? Now, the question is, again, Simon Peter is not a cold-hearted rebel, right? He's not a leftist, commie-lib sodomite. He's not a fascist. He's not trying to be a, you know, some nasty thing or anything here. He's not a rebel. He loves the Lord. His idea is he's trying to protect the Lord. He loves the Lord. He wants the Lord to be with him forever and ever. He's looking for the Lord's kingdom. So why did he say no? He said no because he was offended. That is, it offended his sense of what was right and wrong, right? I mean, this should not be. They're not going to kill my Savior, right? I mean, he had an offended sense of justice, an offended sense of how things should be. It's just not right. This correlates to John 13, a little while ago we went to, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to wash Simon Peter's feet. Man, Simon Peter pulls his feet up under his skirt and says, "No, you ain't washing my feet. You will never wash my feet." Why? Because it was an offense unto him, right? I mean, it was not seemly that Christ should wash his old nasty feet. He should be washing Christ's feet, right? He was offended by that. So I want to say that one of the things you'll have to watch out for is that folks can genuinely be offended sometimes by what Jesus Christ says do. You can go find a place in the Bible that offends you. You can hear a sermon that offends you. Just because you're offended doesn't mean it's not right. Right? Now, I'll give you some examples. Here's some lost guys, right? I know some lost folks that are not perverts, that are not blithering drunks. They are not adulterers. They are good folks. They are religious folks. They are moral folks. But when it comes to being born again, they are not interested. You know why? Because they're offended. Their sense of self-righteousness is offended. After all, their mother and father were quote-unquote godly people. Their grandfather was a preacher. They don't gamble. They don't smoke. They don't cuss. They don't party. They don't run around with women. They are good enough folks. You would be happy, most folks in the world would be happy to turn their children over to these folks because they are good folks. And here's Jesus Christ saying that except a man be born again, he's going to die and go to the same hell as Charles Manson. How can that be? Right? You know what they are? They're offended by that. They're offended by that. There are things that lost folks are offended in all the time. Again, a lot of lost folks are not grossly immoral people. I know they're not righteous in the sense that we talk about, but they are not grossly immoral people. They are good people as far as good people go. But the idea of the judgment of God, of them standing naked before God, and every single idle word that's come out of their mouth be judged, and they be damned because they didn't receive Christ, it's an offense unto them. The idea of a lake of fire where you go and burn forever and ever and ever, and even good people go there and burn if they've not been born again, with very, 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 very wicked people, right? Stalin burns in the same hell as Grandma if Grandma is not born again, right? And it offends them. They are genuinely offended by it. They are offended by the fear of God. They are offended by the doctrine of the love of God, the true love of God, right? Now, by the same token, ladies and gentlemen, there are Christians that say no because they're offended as well. And I've realized this through the years. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you haven't been out street preaching for a long time, I remember the first couple times I went street preaching. I was sitting in the back of the truck. We were going down to the to Pensacola Beach to preach down there. We rode in a guy's truck off the back. We'd go down on the beach and preach off the back of the truck and then, you know, swing back around and preach again. And I just remember sitting on that truck. That guy got up to preach. And, you know, it's so quiet down there and peaceful and everybody's having fun and everything. This guy stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord!" It's just like dropping a bomb. And I got to tell you, there have been a few times I've gone street preaching, and the guy that starts, even me, my flesh just kind of goes, ooh, that hurts. You know, that just really is like sticking your foot in ice cold water. And I just want you to know, folks, that sometimes folks are offended by the Word of God because it's just offensive. You know, folks get upset by our sign out there. Sometimes the folks that are the most upset are Christians. And the reason why is because the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures on that sign to get under people's skins that aren't doing right. I mean, the Bible does say the Holy Spirit is here to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, right? And so He reproves Christians as well. And sometimes those Christians respond even more harshly than lost people. It's just that way. I am aware that some folks are offended by the Bible controversy. You know what? I'm sorry. You know, there's a Bible. It's right. It's true. And it's perfect. And, you know, studied the thing out and looked at it for years and years and years. And, you know, there are folks that when they hear about it, they just don't want to hear about it. They are offended by it. I am sorry. There are some things in the Bible that are offensive. There are some negative truths in the Bible. In fact, there's a lot of negative truths in the Bible. Folks want to hear positive truths these days. But sometimes Christians tell the Lord, "I'm not interested." Because why? Because they are offended by something in the Word of God. They have been taught to judge not, lest they be judged. And here we are, standing up, opening the Bible every week and judging something or other. Here I am telling you to go out and judge in that world what's right and wrong. Right? And folks say, well, they're offended by that, right? I just want you to know that someday that you'll come to a point where you may very well be inclined to tell the Lord, "No, I'm offended." I'll tell you what you better watch out for. You better watch out for the world getting in to the extent that it starts dictating to you what your opinion should be. So one day the Lord says, I need you to do this, or I need you to quit that. And you say, no. Why? Because I'm offended. Right? Amen. Look in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. So one reason that the Christians tell the Lord Jesus Christ no is by their experience. One of the reasons they may say no is because they are offended by certain things in the Bible. Look in Matthew chapter 26 and go down to verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. So he wasn't alone, but I wanted you to see there that the Lord Jesus Christ said, look, you're all going to be offended. He said, I will never, though all are, I won't, period, right? No, Lord, not on my watch. That's not going to happen. And again, folks, Simon Peter was not Judas Iscariot. He was not Cain. He was not Esau. He was somebody that loved Jesus Christ. And he proved that, right? But I want you to know that he was tempted, or he did say no for a reason. And the reason he said no was for no other reason than he was self-confident. He was sure that he would never be the man to deny Jesus Christ, right? I mean, his self-confidence led him to say no to the Lord. Now, sometimes, again, I've mentioned two or three times here tonight, I know there's plenty of wicked, wretched, lost men in this world. There are plenty of them. There are also men that are lost in this world that are not quite so openly wretched and wicked. There are lost folks in this world that mostly are just lost because they think they can handle it. They are confident that whatever comes in life, they've got it taken care of. They're going to just show up one day on a scale in heaven and get on one side, and their bad works are going to be on the other, and they're going to weigh out fine. They are confident they can handle it. And guys, I just want to say that as Christians, sometimes that's the way it goes too, right? I mean, I know that we know that in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. We all say amen to that, and we know it's true. We know that the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But you know, when it comes to nobody seems to stop to think anymore about the fact that music can become a bondage, right? If you're not careful, you get caught in things, and before you know it, you're going down a very slippery slope. Kids, sometimes the age of these guys over here and some of our teenagers, those guys tend to think that they are indomitable. They think that they can do anything, right? Because they're young. When they're 35, 40, they'll know better. I know that. But we all were that way too, right? And even to this hour, some of us think that way. I tell you what disgusts folks sometimes. You know, they come in here, they hear preaching for a while. And what do we preach? We preach, you better be careful, you better be careful. You better be careful what your eyes look at. You better be careful what kind of entertainment you watch. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful of your friends, right? You better be careful of your music. You better be careful of this. You better be careful of that. We sound like a bunch of old ladies. We sound like a bunch of blue hairs. You know, we sound like we can't handle a thing. So a strong man walks in the back door back there. He hears all that. Y'all, you better be careful. You better be careful. And they think that we're weak because we know that sin is deceitful. We know that sin pulls you down before you even know you're going down. And you think that, you know, just common rock and roll music is not wicked. And then you realize one day that it is. That's taken down all those guys that have played it for a living and for a lifetime. Did you? What's the name of that guitarist for the Rolling Stones? What's his name? Richards, Keith Richards. You've seen a picture of Keith Richards for a while? This guy looks like he's been risen from some mummy's tomb or something. This guy should have been dead a long time ago. He looks awful. I don't want to live if I look that awful. Seriously, though, folks, I mean, you know, these guys, you don't think it's going to take you down. You don't think the sin is going to grab you, but it does. You don't think that setting your eyes on certain forms of entertainment, certain forms of literature, will one day take you down to the point where you can't even control what you think anymore. But it can, but it does. So we say, be careful, be careful, be careful. And you know what they think? They think we're weak. You know why? Because they have self-confidence. They just know they can handle it. We know we can't. Right? Be careful of the day that you say, Lord, I know that you said I should probably quit this, or I should probably do this instead of that. But you know what? I am sure that I can handle it. And so I'm going to go right ahead and do what I think is right. It's a dangerous, dangerous slope. Amen? All right, there's one other thing I wanted to show you tonight. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We were here earlier. Acts chapter 10, and go down to verse 13. And you know what, folks? The Lord is doing an absolutely wondrous and marvelous thing at this juncture. He is opening the door for all the Gentiles to be able to be saved, just like the Jews. It is a monumental moment in time. He says, Simon Peter, I got to walk you through a door, right? And when I walk you through this door, you're going to open the door for literally tens of billions of people in time to receive Christ and be saved. Or that at least they can be, right? The door's open to all the Orientals, all the Asians, all the Russians, all the Germans, all the Europeans, all the Africans, all the South Americans, and all the Americans, and all the Canadians even. I mean, the door is going to be open for all these guys to get saved. It is a monumental moment, because there's never been a moment like this before. And so, as a simple lesson, he says, listen, watch this. And lets down a parachute from heaven, and all of these unclean creatures start crawling out. I mean, lobsters, shrimp, pigs. You know, there were walking pork chops in that in that parachute. And he says, listen, verse 13, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Absolutely not. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Right? I mean, now, folks, let me ask you a question. Why did Simon Peter say, absolutely not, Lord? You're just testing me, aren't you? I mean, this is a test, isn't it, Lord? You're just trying to trick me. You're just trying to test me. Why did Simon Peter think that? Simon Peter was an Old Testament Jew living in the New Testament without really realizing what living in the New Testament meant, right? Simon Peter was going by the Bible that he had. He was going by Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. There are unclean animals in there he was not supposed to eat. So I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that sometimes you will be tempted to tell the Lord no because of the Scriptures. Now, what I mean by that is that I understand, I should go ahead and explain, I suppose, for visitors' sake, that, you know, the Lord hadn't finished the revelation here, right? And there came a day that things became very, very clear. You get to Romans, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, and it becomes very, very clear that salvation is now understood to be different than it was back during the Old Testament, right? So Simon Peter is still not quite caught up on everything that's going to happen. We know today that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone and has nothing whatsoever to do with your diet. Praise the Lord, right? Simon Peter did not know that. So he thought the Lord was testing him. He thought the Lord was asking him to do something that was against the Scripture, I suppose a sort of a trial or whatever. But I want you to know there will be times in your life, perhaps, that you will say no or be tempted to say no to the Lord because of something you've read in the Scriptures. Let me give you some examples. Do you know there are classic Scriptures that every lost Catholic and Lutheran in this town knows? They all know the verse, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Right? They all know that verse. There are verses in this town that every drunk in town knows. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, thine often infirmities. Faith without works is dead. Right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Right? They know those verses. Lost people know those verses. Lost people are dying and going to hell, some of them, on those verses. There are verses in your Bible that JWs know, that Mormons know, and that Muslims know, and they're using those verses as excuses to say no to Jesus Christ. At the same time, I want you to understand that it's also true of lost, of saved people, rather. Okay? We have groups of charismatics around. You know why they believe what they believe? They say no to the will of God every day that they speak in tongues. They say no to the will of God every day that they are preoccupied with that whole miracle, signs, and wonders thing. You know why? Because they have not rightly divided the word of truth. They have scriptures that show that that's what Jesus Christ did. That's what he commanded his apostles to do. What they did not find was where those things don't work anymore. Right? In other words, they say no to the will of God because of the scriptures. There are folks that don't like you at all. And they don't like me at all. They don't like us at all because we say, judge. And they say, judge not, lest you be judged. They didn't read the rest of the passage. See, the answer to all this is you got to read the rest of the passage. Right? They know the passage, God is love. And to them that means that God is only love and love is God. They've read it in, but they have their scripture. They're going to cling to it for the rest of their lives. I want you to know it's possible for you to say no to Jesus Christ knowing some scripture. You have to be careful with that Bible. This only shows you that sometimes the Bible can be as much a snare as it is a blessing. You have to read the whole thing. You have to study the whole thing. Now, I know a lost guy can't do that, but a lost guy can ask for help. How can I understand except some man should guide me, right? Now, you're a Bible-believing Christian. You've been in this church long enough to know, and there are no rookies here tonight, I don't think. So you know some basic foundations for studying the Bible. But I can tell you this. Just about everybody that I know that's ever fallen out and has walked away and quit on the Lord, right? I'm talking about quitting on the Lord. Most of them have a Bible verse to do it on. Just about everybody I know that's ever fallen out for the Lord has a Bible verse or two or more to do it on. Now, folks, you cannot use the Bible that way. You know getting out of the will of God is not the will of God. So don't use a Bible verse to prove you should be able to get out of the will of God. It's a wrong thing to do. Now, you know the thing about all these things, there are four things here that I was concerned about here tonight, and that is that sometimes folks say no because of their experience. Sometimes folks say no because they are genuinely offended, not righteously offended, but genuinely offended. Sometimes folks get out because they are self-confident. Sometimes folks say no to the Lord because of the Scriptures. Now, the thing about Peter here, and I'll close with this, and I really will close with this. It's not going to be 45 minutes. The thing about Simon Peter is all four of these things. I cannot see that any one of these things. You know, Simon Peter said, no, not on my watch, buddy. It's not going to happen with me. I can't find any one case there where Simon Peter's no lasted more than about a day. I mean, seriously, folks. I know folks that have told the Lord no for years now for one of these reasons. I can't find where Simon Peter, and you can laugh at Simon Peter if you want. I can't find here where Simon Peter said no to the Lord and that no lasted for more than just a day or two. I mean, Simon Peter was, whatever else can be said, Simon Peter was rebukable. And he would get right, get his heart right, and acquiesce to the Lord's will. So I would admonish you folks here tonight, and for myself as well, be careful lest you say no to the Lord. Lest your experience dictate to you that, you know, that's not going to work. Or perhaps you are offended by something that the Bible says in some way or another, and maybe you just don't want to live that. Or shall we say, maybe it's something like self-confidence. Maybe you think, you know, I've been this way forever. I can handle it. I don't have to be so careful of my friends as those teenagers have to be of their friends, because I'll never let my friends drag me down like they'll let their friends drag them down. Oh, I've seen just as many grown-ups dragged down by their friends as little kids or teenagers, all right? Lastly, I want to say you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, you may well say no to the Lord and have a scriptural excuse to do so. I'm not saying you'll be right. I'm saying you'll be able to go to the Bible and find a verse to justify saying no, leaving, quitting, bailing out, or just saying, I ain't going to do that. I got my Bible verse. I'll tell you right now, your Bible verse, you don't know more Bible than Jesus Christ. And the same Lord that dictated to you what you should do is not going to allow you to come up to the judgment seat of Christ and debate Him about what His Bible says, right? That is not going to work. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for Your love to us and giving us some examples here, Lord. I would iterate again that for Simon Peter, Father, I would not like to be him. I would not much appreciate having my mistakes picked apart by men like me for 2,000 years. So I appreciate, Father, in that regard, the day that I live in. Father, at the same time, I hope that all here realize that one of the reasons we've been given these scriptures is that we might learn from an example, even a negative example, like Simon Peter. We don't have to make the mistakes he made. We do not have to live through the hard lessons that he had to learn. We don't have to be rebuked like he was rebuked. We can learn these lessons from the comfort of our pews here in this life so that we don't have to go through what he had to go through. Father, I pray that you'll help us to always say yes to thee. And Father, you had some things here, some places that you had some things to say to these men. And Simon Peter always stepped up and said, nuh-uh, not me. In each of those cases, Father, we know that he had, to him anyway, it seemed like reason to say no. But Father, we know that he did not. We pray you'd help us not be deceived in the same way that he was. We pray you'd help us to take account of these things and be able to use them, Father, to help us in our relationship with thee. Remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. We've just been in revival meetings, and I realize that an awful lot of folks here in this church tonight have said yes to the Lord. I appreciate that. You've come to the altar time and again. I appreciate that. This is not accusatory. I'm just trying to prepare you and fortify you for a day when you may receive some news about some things you should do. And you might be tempted to say, no, I don't think so. And maybe it'll be for good reason. Maybe it'll be for experience, or because it's offensive to you, or because of your self-confidence, or because of even the scriptures. Maybe you have a verse that you just think that makes you the exception to what this thing that Christ wants you to do.
Let's all stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Going to be dismissed here. Been through a week of invitations, and trust that the Lord has open access to your ears. Father, we thank you for a good day today, and it's been a long week for these folks and for me for that matter. And we pray that you would have fortified us, Father, to go back into kind of a normal, regular, everyday type life here after revivals. It's always kind of hard to break back in. We appreciate your goodness to us, allowing us to partake in these things. And we pray that you would make the things we heard not only this week but this day real as well. Father, may you look into our hearts and may you have clear access to our thoughts. We know you do. We pray that we might yield them up unto thee, and we pray that you might help us to meditate upon thee and to nourish that relationship with thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks.